Again, I leave the world, and I go to the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I thought I would give today a sermon in preparation for the feast of our Blessed Lord's Ascension, which takes place this Thursday. It's Thursday. According to tradition, it's noontime, midday. The hour of separation has finally come. Our Lord has spent the last 3 years with his disciples, teaching them very sublime truths, and showing them the way to heaven, eating with them, resting with them, laboring with them. They had become not only his disciples, but his friends as well. And so now the hour of separation has come. Our Lord rises up, and his Blessed Mother and those 120 disciples assembled there in the cenacle prepare to follow him. The cenacle is on Mount Sion. It's one of the two hills within the walls of Jerusalem. And this holy group, which had formed one of the first processions, walks all the way through the city towards the eastern gate, which opens up into the Valley of Josaphat. And it is the last time that our Lord will walk through that faithless city of those Jews. It is noted that our Lord in this procession was invisible to all of those men who had denied him, but that he could be seen only by his disciples. The holy procession has now passed through the Valley of Josaphat, and it crosses then the brook Cedron and is now moving towards Mount Olivet, the place where he began his passion. And this is a very revealing thought. He ascends to heaven from the very place where all of his sufferings began. He, as it were, transforms all of his sufferings into heavenly glory. He shows us in this way that the way to heaven is none other than the way of the cross. So he looks at this moment when they arrive at Mount Olivet. He looks with affection at his mother, and gives a last farewell to all of his disciples. And he raises his hand and blesses them, and then ascends by his own divine power into the heavens, and until a cloud covers him from the eyes of the disciples. Our Lord is God. The earth has lost its Emmanuel, its God with us. He is no longer, at least in visible form, with us here on earth. And the disciples, they stand there, speechless, gazing up to heaven, and although they no longer see him with their eyes, they do see him with the eyes of their thoughts and their mind. From that moment on, they will always see their divine friend here in their thoughts. He will always be with them. They will never forget him. Now, the ascension, glorious as it was to our Blessed Lord, was the ultimate parting with his visible presence on earth. And this parting, just as it forced the disciples from then on to always be thinking about our Lord because they could no longer see him, so also with us, we do not see Christ with our eyes. Therefore, he must always be in our minds and in our hearts, so that he never entirely has gone away from us. The lives of men seem, for the most part, very much the same, don't they? All of you, when you go home, you'll be doing pretty much the same thing as everyone else. You'll have a meal to prepare, dishes to wash, maybe there's some recreation in your day, and then there's rest and there's prayer. Our lives all look the same on the outside, so much so that you never know who is holier than you. That is hidden. But it could be someone that does the most menial tasks throughout his day is the most holy person in this room. That's one of the three great surprises of heaven. Remember those, I've mentioned them before. The first one is, there are many persons in heaven that you never expected to be there. The second is, there are many souls who are not there that you thought would make it. And the third and greatest surprise of all is that, here I am, Lord, before the beatific vision. But we cannot see with our eyes the inner life of another person's soul. But it is very important, this interior life of the soul. And it all depends on this. Do we sanctify the Lord Christ in our hearts? What does this mean? To sanctify the Lord Christ in our hearts. It means to keep his memory as a motive and incentive to live for him alone, never to forget that he is at your side throughout the day, particularly when you are going through some trial or tribulation. That is when he is the nearest. Never forget it, but always keep his memory as a motive and incentive to live for him and him alone. Now, in order that this remembrance of Christ dwell in our hearts, it must be cultivated. It's not easy. We get caught up with our gadgets. We get caught up in our work. We get caught up in family life. And our minds seem to gravitate towards all of those things. And they seem to leave our Lord somewhere behind us. We forget him. And then our whole interior life seems to collapse. Not totally, because eventually I know that you as good Catholics will return to our Lord, but somewhat. And you lose the value of so much of your actions because you've allowed yourself to be absorbed by your occupation and to forget our blessed Lord. A good mother can understand this. A good mother, when her son is off to school or off to war, can think of little else than her son. The son is always there present, and she will talk to him in her own mind, and she will wish him well. The same with separated friends, the same with spouses. And if we recall a loved one in suffering, it causes us much grief, so much so that we will do whatever we can to help him out. Now, the saints had just such a living, loving memory of our Lord. He was not some distant God who created us only then to leave us to our own devices. That's what the deists believe, Thomas Jefferson, for example. That he was this father who would bring children into the world and abandon them, leave them to their own devices. But God is not only God. He is your brother, he is your friend, he is everything good that you can think about. He is just that. And his memory should never leave our thoughts. But with us, as I said, it is different. And it causes us to pray without really praying. That is, we say our prayers so often. But when we've forgotten our Lord, and we've gotten caught up in our duties, we're giving our Lord lip service. You've heard that so many times. We're giving him lip service. And our prayers lose a lot, perhaps not all, but a lot of their value and their efficacy. If only we could remember that when we kneel down in prayer, God kneels down there beside us in the pre-do or on the floor, listening, and actually taking part in the conversation. It's not a one-way conversation, prayer isn't, where you're saying everything and God is just listening. No, but that's how we tend to look at prayer. Prayer is a two-way conversation. you talk to God. And then before you get up and go on to your next duty, stay there for a few moments and listen. Put all the other thoughts out of your mind and listen, for God will always have a word for you, something that He wants of you. One great way to transform ourselves, and that is what our whole life is about, transformation. Go back to Mount Olivet for just a moment, or rather to Calvary. Our Lord transformed all of the pain and all of the suffering of the cross into the glorious resurrection on Easter Sunday. He began His passion in Mount Olivet, and He ended His life here on earth, ascending into His glory from Mount Olivet. He takes ordinary bread and wine and changes them into His own body and blood, soul and divinity. And so our whole life, too, is to be one big transformation. We are to be other Christs. When you look at a priest, you expect him to be an alter Christus. But really, every one of us here in this room today is to transform himself into Christ. And I give you one little way of doing that. The morning offering. How many of you have said it today? Because what that does is it takes your whole life, your whole day, everything that you are doing this day, whatever it be, fun or work or suffering, it takes what makes us look like everyone else in the world just going about his business, and it transforms that action into what makes us holy. It makes our every action pleasing to God. It makes every action meritorious. It makes us to earn a place in heaven, and by each fresh action, to gain a higher place in heaven. That is what that simple prayer, the morning offering, does. It transforms our whole day. And when it transforms our whole day, it then transforms us into alter Christus, because we have done all for our blessed Savior. So, before I end, keep this in mind. Your Lord has ascended to heaven. You no longer see Him with your bodily eyes. That's true. But we must see Him with our faith, that He is here, not only in the tabernacle, but when you are walking down the streets and into your home, He is with you. Never forget that our Lord is there. Talk to Him. Speak to Him. Offer things to Him. Suffer in union with Him. He is a friend that will not only do all of those things with you and accept what you give Him with gratitude, but He is one that will suffer along with you until He finds you one day ascending into heaven yourself, ready to take a throne that is waiting there for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.